All right, so Proverbs chapter 11, and we left off last week in verse 16, so we're going to pick up in verse 17 this week. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 17. It states, "Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves." So the way we do this is we ask the question first, what's this proverb talking about?
Mercy versus cruelty is what I
mean. Ooh, that's very good. Mercy and cruelty. And what categories would we assign these to in this particular topic? Wicked versus righteous would be good.
Disrespect.
Yeah, you could do disrespect. I actually looked at it from the human speech perspective, the third topic down, life and death or good and evil. In our speech, our words, our kindness has the ability to bring good qualities, and our cruelty with our words or even with our actions. Any others? All right, verse 18. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. And I would say this when I was taking my notes early. Verses 18 to 21, I kind of put each one of these together. That's kind of almost a whole block. Verses 18 to 21, they're very similar to one another. We can take them individually and we can look at them as a group. But when we get down to verse 21, I'll have some thoughts about this whole block. So the question is, do you want to read them all and assign them all? Okay. So do we have anyone who'd be willing to read verses 18 to 21?
The wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. The true righteous man attends life, but he who pursues evil goes to his death. The Lord detests them
perverse heart,
but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free.
Thank you. So what categories can we put these verses in? As a block or even individually?
Righteous and wicked.
Definitely the righteous and the wicked. Yeah, on what side of it?
The evil and
the death. Yeah, the evil and the death side of our speech.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
In human speech, on the evil side of our speech, we could put that there. What about faithfulness under God's guidance? Verse 20 kind of rings to that. And I also kind of looked at verse 20 as this is our God who is a holy God. So verse 20 states, the Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Our God is holy. He doesn't like perversion. He doesn't like twisted lies, things like that. So one of the concepts, so as I was reading in the commentaries, this series of verses kind of come to this idea of let me read it here. It says, that's not fair. I always get caught. But when I do it, you know, they get away with it. But when I do it, I always get caught. Right? It's the idea of not being fair. And these Proverbs address this it's not fair idea. On one hand, they do get away with things, meaning evil and wicked people, they get away with things because they're not being held to a standard, are they? We as Christians are held to a standard. Well, ourselves. God lives within us and he is constantly pricking our heart. Hey, that's not right. Hey, that's not right. Right?
Well, and you could even go so far as to put this in diligent worker versus the wicked doer.
Mm-hmm. You can.
You know, sowing righteousness. The blameless, you know, are his delight.
I also added it in this idea, this group of men, what we're supposed to behave as. Under the family and friends, husbands, men are to be this way. Women are too, but we as people are supposed to be this way. Just a thought. Those were my musings of the idea. Any other thoughts on this series? Okay. Verse 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Anybody want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole?
Isn't that like the tagline of an election season a few years back?
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Definitely under the white women category. White women category.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was funny because it was Sarah Palin who made that one, that problem famous again. And then it turned into the pig with lipstick. But that's where it started at.
Right. Yep. So what does that mean? What is this proverb?
It says 80s, help us out.
Well, it means something beautiful that is in a pig. I mean, it's ultimately devalued because of where it is.
Right. So yeah, exactly. So it's this idea that how likely are you going to see a gold ring or a diamond stuffed into a hog's nose? I mean, do you know anything about hogs? That is the second most filthiest place on their body. The first most filthiest place on a hog's body is his body. But his nose is nasty, right? And you're not likely to see a gold ring, right? It would devalue that precious item. And so the idea is that women with no discretion that are devalued, right?
I'm curious what all the other translations are. Mahan says, a beautiful woman who rejects good sense.
That's a good version.
Lacks discretion. Is there any other ones? I like having a lot of translations.
Yeah, the King James says is a fair woman without discretion. The New American Standard says lacks discretion. And the Amplified as a gold ring in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who is without discretion. And in parentheses it says, her lack of character mocks her beauty, which is the definition of the conversation.
Which
Do what?
In other words, she's as dirty as the pig.
As dirty as the pig.
That's pretty, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. That's a very good translation. J. Vernon McGee put it this way. Well, I don't know if you've ever looked at anybody out here in Hollywood, but there's a lot of beautiful women with absolutely no discretion. They're very ugly, he said. That was his comment recorded, right? So, I like this. It's the lack of character mocks her beauty.
What does it say to men is my question. Because to me, it almost strikes more like a warning. Yeah, she's pretty, but...
So my dad always said this, beauty is skin deep, you need to look inside. And while she's pretty on the outside, that's only going to last for a little while. You need to look what's on the inside.
This is where we're trying to address the what category is it?
Yeah. Any other categories besides wives? Women? What'd you say?
I said it should be women / wives.
Yes. In the next printing of these, it will be that.
Flexibility.
We could throw the men in there too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we have to have some discretion too, right? We have to not just look with our eyes, but we have to pay attention to other things than just the outward appearance.
Well, men too.
I was going to say,
there's a lot of women that look on, that mean, you know, looks are a big thing. It goes both ways. And, yeah, so, yeah.
Men can look on the great on the outside and then not be very nice on the pretty on the inside, or handsome, or whatever you want to say on the inside, yeah.
Yeah.
I put her under fools.
There you go. Fools and what?
I was thinking instruction maybe.
Instruction?
You could even go so far as to say under popular sin, delusion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and disrespect.
Yeah.
Illusion and disrespect. Very good. What's that?
I'm still trying to get used to where stuff is on here. So.
Yeah, it's going to take a little while. Yeah.
It's not about the order, so it's
good. That's, I know. It's. I didn't spend that much time on it. I just wrote it out.
It's good. But it's a good exercise to think about it this way.
Right.
Well, also, I would have never came to an illusion for this one unless other people had said it out loud.
Yeah.
Like, oh, got it. Okay. That's
a
violation.
Yeah. It's a good description.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, 23. So the desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. So what are we talking about here in this proverb?
They're looking
to
stir up trouble in the
evil
ones are. They're looking for that wrath
to get up.
They're full of anger
and
bitterness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice little dream to say, what if that wicked person gets what they're hoping for? What it'll end up leading to is God's wrath.
So what would we assign these topics to? What could we assign them? Or what will we, rather? Good.
You could also assign it to husbands and wives. Like, there are some husbands that provoke their wives and children's wrath. They like it. They want it. And they look for it. And, you know, I'm sure some wives do the same thing. Not just husbands and wives, but, you know, people in general.
Yeah.
That love those reactions.
Yeah. One that stood out to me was wicked in the type of people. I also put this under the righteous.
I feel like every single one goes under righteous and wicked.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way right now. So verse 24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. What does it mean to give, to withhold unduly?
Stingy.
Stingy.
What's due? I mean, unduly.
Yeah.
Or
just. Hmm? Hoard. Yeah, hoard. Greed.
Yeah, we're talking about greed.
Yeah. Definitely.
Which goes back to tithing also.
Goes back to?
Tithing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I put this under under God's guidance, under counsel and obedience. Kind of where I thought that tithing might go into that obedience line. So verse 25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So not a comparison here, but an actual statement of counsel, right? Where could we put this?
Can you read that again in your translation?
Yeah. This is verse 25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The King James says it this way: the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So the idea of your generosity, right? Where would you put that?
Influence.
Definitely. Influence.
Faithfulness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely obedience, faithfulness. I had this in our speech. You know, being generous with our words as well. You know, it's not just your financial pocket that you're going to be generous with. You can be generous by telling people thank you and complimenting them and going out of your way just to say something nice for a minute. And those things go a long way in your work day, with other people, with our spouse, just taking a moment to say, oh, that looks very pretty. As long as it's the truth. Unless she's having a bad day, and then she always looks pretty.
Giving away your secrets, man.
I am.
She is in the room.
She is in the room. All right, verse 26. It says, people curse the one who hoards grain, but they will pray God's blessings on the one who is willing to sell.
Interesting one.
Yeah. In the, I think in the King James, it says it just a little bit differently. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. The blessing shall be upon the head of him who sells it. So the King James is a little more direct in this idea of greed and generosity.
Well, it's hoarding, like preventing other people from having it.
Mm-hmm.
That goes with stark contrast and things like that, but it's more than that.
I also wrote this down as something that would be disrespectful.
So, Scooby?
I was going under the path.
Yeah. Under the righteous, under a path. Compassionate, you said?
Talking about how God would, the blessing will come to the one who sells, almost like God in his compassion.
Well, the human, like you know, somebody has a bunch of corn and they just want to hoard it for themselves, but somebody's willing to sell it, they're having compassion on people that don't have it.
Well, they're sharing.
They're holding
the others in higher regard than themselves. No matter how bad they want it, they're willing to give it to someone else.
Was maybe about neighbors?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Just how to treat other people or consider them, which goes back to compassion.
It's a vicious circle.
They're all connected.
They're deep.
They're their friends as well.
Yeah.
Did you say path or plans? Path.
I had another path.
Path. So we're in chapter 11, verse 27 now.
Thank you for clarifying this week.
Yes. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. Kind of back to Margie, your statement earlier. If you're looking for evil, you're going to find it. Where would we put verse 27?
Reading your
translation again. This is always fun. It says, whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it.
Yeah.
Under speech. Yeah. Good life.
And
evil.
Death.
And death. Yep. 27.
Scorner, because if you're actually searching for evil,
correct. Because we said the scorner was the one who completely and totally walked away rejected, and they busy themselves about finding the worst.
Well,
very
you
good.
Right?
You could.
Good.
Definitely. Influence.
I think it also, it can contrast a wise person versus a wicked person as well.
Yeah, you could do that.
Obedience.
Yeah. Obedience.
What about influence?
Yes, definitely influence. You could add that one.
That's a good influence and seeks good work.
Yeah.
That can also lead to discipleship.
Yep, definitely. So verse 28, it says, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf.
Is that like greed?
Greed, yep.
Pride.
I found this very interesting under righteousness, but also under fools. And I chose fools, and not just the simple, but I chose fools because they were standing on the edge of whether to believe or not believe. They weren't just the simple sinful person, right? They were on the edge, and in this case, they're believing in their wealth, their riches, and the things they have, rather than that of God.
Faith,
yep.
Well, I like how that's how kind of the proverb works. The second line informs the first and kind of gives it more meaning too. It's to say you're trusting in something. And that is the word for faith. Yeah, I love that. It's kind of a weird concept though to say you have faith in your money. But we say it all the time. Oh yeah, that's a trust fund, you know.
Yeah. Trust fund. That's funny.
That's a good one.
So verse 29 says, "Whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise."
It's almost a thieves and sluggards type action with the first.
Yeah, you could definitely put that there.
So what does it mean, inherit the wind?
Disrespect. To quote Willy Wonka, you get nothing.
Yeah, just wind, there's nothing there. Can't see the wind. So
why are you
always down by the light? Lots of chocolates, you don't know what you're going in.
So my note at the bottom, Lesta says, the one who mismanages his house will see all he has blown away, and he'll have nothing left in the end. And he'll serve the one who manages things well.
Very practical.
Yeah.
Like highly, highly practical.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, they can pay you money, and you don't have any of that, so.
Mm-hmm.
Then
you'd
be passed
in
that instance, just because it's
an
ongoing thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like not being a good steward type of.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be fools, foolish.
Yeah, there you go.
Foolishness.
Foolishness, yeah.
He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. The foolish will be servant to the wise heart.
That's miracle.
So what does yours read?
Verse 29.
Verse 29, chapter 11.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm on the right verse now.
He was just joking. You're on 11?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, leave it for a minute.
Last week was pretty rough for Scooby.
He
was in chapter 10 all the whole time while we were in 11.
And then we were singing, and I grabbed your songbook. I'm sorry.
No, page numbers are different. That was not on you.
Okay. Chapter 11, 29. Whoever's trouble is his own household, where inherit the rent, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart.
Yeah. Yeah, so what categories would you put that under?
Why is that the heart the trouble?
I was the same thing with Crystal said, the thieves.
Thieves and sluggards, yeah. Yeah.
Thieves and sluggards, and then also I would put, follow the man was troubling his own household, and here lived the wind.
I put that on under the first part of that under our human speech, yeah. Under evil and death.
So that means you gotta get in trouble.
No, it means the ruin that you bring to your house, whether it's through your words or your actions.
Oh.
Right. So our human speech is more than just our words. It can be our words, but we speak with body language. We speak with our behavior. We speak with our attitude. We speak with,
With our care of others.
Yeah, with our care of others. Some people said disrespect here. So let's move on to verse 30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives."
Yours says captures souls.
Yeah. I'm not captures.
I like saves lives a lot. Capture souls, yeah, sounds like.
Yeah, so in the old NIV, so like the pre-95, it actually states the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a guess at what the original was, because mine says captivates people. Wait, what was that then?
Well, it's he that wins souls.
Wins souls, okay.
It could be talking about the influence,
You're
influencing people.
Right.
Yeah.
So here in the Amplified Bible, it speaks it this way. The fruit of the consistently righteous is a tree of life.
Right.
And he who is wise captures and wins souls for God. He gathers them for eternity.
So you got a Psalm 1, Genesis 2 kind of thing. End of Jude. Like that's when I hear "win souls." I don't know. It does sound like the snatching out of the fire kind of phrase at the end of Jude. It reminds me.
Well, there's also the idea that you're leading others to see Christ, right?
Right.
Yeah. Honor, commitment.
Commitment, definitely.
What about?
Yeah, especially if you're thinking of consistent righteousness. Yeah, commitment's huge.
Yeah. Could
you
go to all those God's guidance categories?
Yeah.
It's going to write really big.
Yeah,
what about plan? Would that go in plan?
Yes.
That's what I call plans. What about friends? Would that?
That's good. You're not thinking about who you're influencing.
Who's your influence? That's what I was thinking, too.
Your friends and neighbors?
Friends and neighbors. That's what I was thinking. Friends and neighbors.
Could be any of those. Whoever needs saving, right?
Mm-hmm. Phone for counsel. Mm-hmm. Counseling someone.
Human speech.
Yeah, the good life in your human speech. Righteous.
Yeah.
Wise. How about a holy God? Sovereign.
I like this verse.
What about wise God?
Yeah. Yeah, holy God. Yeah. So verse 31 goes hand in hand with this, and he says, "If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" In other words, it answers the question back in verses 18 to 21, where it says, well, that's not fair. It actually is. Everyone receives what they're due. But in verse 31, the righteous receive their due on earth, and how much more the ungodly or the sinner. I have this specifically down in, we have a holy God who is a sovereign God. Verse 31, I put there in those two categories. I also put this in the simple. Remember that the simple and even the scorners and the fools, but the simple are those who vacillate, right? They're just the sinner. They're just the normal everyday person. They haven't chose what to be wise, but they sometimes they're foolish, sometimes they're wise. They're just kind of wishy-washy. And God says there's no room for wishy-washy, right? You either are my son or you are not my son. You can't be on the fence and hope my good things get me there, right? You have to make that commitment.
You think it's interesting about the phrase, how much more? In the New Testament, it's almost always a positive thing. Like, how much more shall the redeemed be shown his grace? And all these ways. You're probably like, how much more the sinful can experience how righteous God is?
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts on these sets of verses in chapter 11? Anything that you wanted to say that you didn't say yet before we move on?
Glad I'm on the right chapter.
Okay, so while we get ready for chapter 12, verse 1, because we've got 10 more minutes, and we can kind of keep on our path and just keep going down through each one of these, because they're not really broken out by chapters. Would anyone else like another sheet of paper for chapter 12? Okay, so we'll just go ahead and pass them around and send me the extras. I'll pick him up after. All right, so chapter 12, verse 1. We'll begin. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction, my version says, is stupid.
My commentary says, stupid as a cat.
Stupid as a cat.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Mine says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge,
but
he who hates reproof is stupid.
Yeah, very good.
Mine says brutish. King James says.
Is what?
Brutish.
Brutish.
British?
Yeah, brutish.
Brutish. Brutish. Like brute force, brutish. I've never heard of that.
Brutish?
Yeah.
So you've watched Popeye. You've got Popeye and Brutus. He was a brute.
Yeah.
Brutish.
Oh.
I'm
going to
say that as a simple man. Right?
Yeah. Simple. Well, it could be simple. I put it under wise, scorners, and fools, as well as faithfulness, instruction, and obedience. I got carried away with chapter 12. I was feeling really positive at the very beginning. It went downhill after that. So I put it in wise, scorners, and fools. Crystal said simple. And then I also put it in faithfulness or faith, instruction, and obedience.
Got
Okay. So when I began this, I kind of thought everyone would have one or two places to go. It all depends on what experience you've had and how you read it. I have found in talking to some people at work, I've said, hey, where would you put this one in this category? And I show them the category list. And they're like, oh, well, I'll put it in this other one. Why would you do that? And they explain their life experience and how that changed their perspective of this particular proverb and how it applies to their life, right? And it's very biblical. It that's the way it is, but it proves the nature of God's word being very alive and constantly changing us in our perspective.
Well, I'm going to forget how it hit me today, and so I have to write next to the verse a little quote from the verse of which part stuck out.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So verse 2, it says, good people obtain favor from God, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. Yep. Evil and death.
Scorners.
Longer
good life.
Holy God.
Yeah. A gift from God. Pretty much everything under God's guidance, yeah. I also put this under men specifically.
This is starting to be a trend where it's just because you are a man, then.
Right? So verse 3, it says, no one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. Here it is in the King James. It says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved.
Yeah.
I feel like sovereign God, but I can't say why.
Yeah.
As if he's the one making you unmovable?
Yes.
Verse 4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones.
Wife?
Yeah, women and wife. And what did you say, Dave?
Disrespect.
Would anyone say influence would be an idea?
Commitment.
Influence. Verse 5. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful.
Righteous and wicked.
Counsel. I had plans.
Unless they speak.
Mm-hmm.
My commentary says, our thoughts do matter. At the very least, they must not be deceitful. The person's thoughts determine what he or she says and does.
So both the good and the evil side of our speech. Under human speech, good and evil. Section number 3, verse 5. And we'll do number 6, and that'll probably be our last one for the evening. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Definitely a play on speech.
Faith.
Faith?
I think 5 and 6 are kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Could you almost put that under being like God in compassionate? Our speech can lend compassion to others if we choose to do so.
You know, they should teach that stuff in grade school and high school, junior high, how our words, power, you know, life and death are in the power of our words.
Yeah. Well, we'll start in verse 7 next week, but let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and thank God for just allowing us to spend some time in His Word tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You, and we thank You very much for what Your Word says to us about how we speak, our behavior, our thought process, the way we talk, just everything about who we are and what makes us us. Lord, please, may we always lean on You. May we wake up in the morning and ask for Your guidance, for Your help to make a difference each day, make my words matter, help me to use my words properly, help me to just help me to be an example for You. Help us all to want that desire and to seek You each day. Lord, we love You. We thank You very much for the evening. Pray that You just watch over us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.